Southern California Christian Students College Conference, April 13-15, 2012, Anaheim, California. Conference title is The New Testament Priesthood. Message 4, A Holy and Royal Priesthood. Scripture reading, 1 Peter 2, 2-5 and 9, and 1 Corinthians 12, 14-27.
Jesus is getting us together! Well, this weekend we have been enjoying the New Testament priesthood. Amen. And I'd like to ask you, when you leave this conference, when you go back home to your locality, to your campus, how are you going to fulfill the New Testament priesthood? How are you, not somebody else, how are you going to fulfill the New Testament priesthood? The answer is that word, together! Amen. So let me ask you that question again. When you go back from this conference, back to your locality, how are you, yes I mean you, how are you going to fulfill the New Testament priesthood?
Together!
By yourself?
No!
As a lone priest?
No!
No! Together!
Amen.
So this morning, the burden is together. This morning, the way we fulfill the New Testament priesthood is together. Well, before we get into the outline, I'd like to just speak a little bit about the reality of together. Right now, my standing here is a matter of standing together.
Amen.
Apparently, you thought this morning that just brother so-and-so was going to speak and give the message. But it's not just a brother speaking the message this morning. And it's not just a brother exercising to be one spirit with the Lord, but a brother who is standing here together with others.
Amen.
Standing together with the brothers who have spoken in the other meetings.
Amen.
Standing together with many other brothers and sisters who have been serving out there.
Amen.
And even I'd like to tell you, I am standing here this morning with a brother who is a junior in college. Did you ever think you were coming this morning and a brother who is a junior in college would be a factor of the speaking this morning? I didn't know this either till last night. Last night, oh, I was concerned. How am I going to do this? So many points, so little time. How to get all these out? How to have a good beginning? How am I going to review the previous messages? How am I going to cover all the points? How am I going to hit the burden the Lord's given me? And then, last night, with my hospitality, around our table, eating dessert together, one of the brothers, he didn't even know it. He didn't even know it, but he joined with me this morning.
Amen.
To give this message. He spoke something. He spoke something. And what he spoke, the Lord just shined on that. That's it. That's what you need to speak tomorrow.
Amen.
That's how you need to begin the message tomorrow. And so that brother went to bed, had no idea. The Lord began to touch me. This verse, before you go to bed, look up this verse. And we'll read it in just a minute.
Amen.
And then this morning at 5:30, I woke up. And that word that brother spoke to me last night, that was the first thing the Lord brought to me.
Amen.
And I realized, this is what the Lord wants me to speak this morning.
Amen.
So this morning I am speaking along with, together with, a brother who is a junior at college.
Amen.
Well, what's this word? What's this burden? Well, dear saints, I have a burden in me that this weekend the Lord has spoken much. The Lord surely has shined a lot on us concerning the New Testament priesthood. But I am concerned that there are some frustrations within us to this word. Some frustrations that hinder us from realizing who we really are. And this morning, I would like to touch these frustrations. Touch what they are. And actually, these matters are touched in the outline. But the first frustration is that we may be sitting here listening to this word on the priesthood. We may be nodding our head in agreement. That sounds good. I like that. That sounds good. But deep down within our being, there may be a response, but that's not me. But that's not me. That's for someone else. Someone else can be the priest. Someone else can do it. But I can't do it. I'd like to do it, but I can't do it. What is this? What is this? This is a lack of boldness. This is a lack of boldness. So my burden this morning is that all of us would realize who we are. We are priests. Not priests based on our feeling, but priests based upon the revelation in God's Word. And we need to be bold. We need to be bold to accept what God's Word says. And we need to go all the way. Amen. So I'd like you to open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. I'll read it to you while you're looking for it. Let us therefore come forward with boldness. Come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. This book was written to some believers who had a background in Judaism, and they were being hindered from going all the way. Hindered by their concepts. And one concept that these ones had from their background was only a certain class of people, only a certain group of people were the priests. And that was according to what was in the Old Testament. Actually, we know in the Old Testament, God's intention was that all His people would be priests. But because of a failure of the people, and only one tribe rose up to stand with God in the Old Testament, eventually only one tribe, the tribe of Levi, served as the priests. But when the Lord Jesus came, He changed the dispensation. He changed the arrangement. And today we're no longer in the Old Testament dispensation. We are in the New Testament dispensation. Amen. And in the New Testament dispensation, we all are priests. Amen. And in the Old Testament dispensation, I'd like to... Actually, can someone give me their map of the tabernacle? Page 10. In the Old Dispensation, there was one tribe, Levi. And in that one tribe, one family, the family of Aaron. And once a year, the high priest from the family of Aaron got to go from here, the altar of the burnt offering, got to pass through the outer court, enter into the holy place where there was the showbread and the lampstand and the incense altar. And once a year, this high priest got to enter into the Holy of Holies. He got to go all the way. The goal for the priest is here in the Holy of Holies. Here's the goal. The goal is go all the way into the Holy of Holies, all the way into God's presence. But when the Lord Jesus came, He abolished, He ended, finished the Old Testament dispensation. And He brought us into the New Testament dispensation. And it says in the book of Hebrews, He opened a new and living way.
Amen.
He opened a way for us to go all the way.
Amen.
He opened a way for you. Yes, I'm talking to you. You who think you're not qualified. You who think you are not worthy. The Lord opened a way.
Amen.
For you to go all the way.
Amen.
You know why I'm saying all the way? Because last night, this college brother was sharing about this diagram. And he shared one time a brother had spoken and used the analogy. You know, in a football game, sometimes the announcer will see that the running back got the ball and a hole opened up, a lane opened up. And the announcer will say, I think he can go all the way. He's going all the way. Well, I'd like to tell you, the Lord Jesus had opened a new and living way for you.
Amen.
And you can go all the way.
Amen.
Be bold.
Amen.
The way has been opened. Go in.
Amen.
So every good running back needs a play, right?
Right.
Well, as priests, we have our playbook. Here's our playbook as priests. You see it? Here's your playbook. Who's not writing? Brian, come here. Brian, are you a priest?
Yes.
Are you a New Testament priest?
Yes.
Here's your playbook.
Oh.
When you wake up in the morning, you need to go all the way. You need to start, run to the altar of burnt offering. Enjoy Christ.
Amen, Lord, I love you.
Run to the altar.
Amen.
Enjoy the Lord washing you.
Amen.
From the earthly defilement. Then go in. Cut to the right. Get to the showbread table. Feast on the Lord. Now, break left. Whoa. Get to the lampstand.
Amen.
Enjoy the Lord shining in you.
Repent.
Enlightening you.
Oh, I repent.
Then come to the incense altar.
Amen, Lord.
Begin to pray with the Lord. Pray.
Amen, Lord.
And then the Lord will bring you all the way.
Amen.
Into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Into God's presence.
Amen.
This is wonderful.
Awesome.
Then when you wake up in the morning, read the play.
Amen.
Do it again.
Amen.
Every day.
Ready, break.
Go all the way.
Amen.
But then you're not alone. You're not the only priest.
That's right. We need a huddle.
We need all the priests.
Amen.
Need to help one another. Go all the way.
Amen.
When you wake up in the brother's house,
Amen.
Not only do you need to go, you need to take all the brothers with you.
Amen.
And then last night we saw that the work of the priest is not just to be content with us, going all the way. But eventually we need to go out. Michael, grab a Gentile. Brian, grab a Gentile.
Amen. That's me. Amen.
Michael, the Gentile.
Amen.
Brian, bring him to the altar of burnt offering.
Amen. Oh,
you need to believe in the Lord Jesus right now. Just pray with me.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I repent.
Hallelujah.
Come in me.
Amen.
Oh, come in and live in me.
Very good.
Amen.
Okay, now bring him to the laver.
Amen.
Oh, we need to just open up to the Word.
Amen.
Just follow me.
Yes.
In the beginning.
Amen.
In the beginning.
Oh, good.
Get
what?
The Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word was God.
And God lives in me.
Amen.
And God lives in me.
Amen. Okay, wonderful.
Amen.
But don't abandon him.
Oh.
He hasn't gone all the way.
No, not yet.
Don't leave him at the fire station.
Amen.
Right?
I won't do that.
Keep bringing him, look, the playbook.
Oh, to the right.
Amen. Bring him to the showbread table.
Showbread
look.
Table.
Enjoy the Lord is the bread of life.
Amen.
Help him to eat.
Amen.
Amen. I am the bread of life.
Oh, I am the bread of,
life. Amen.
He who eats me.
Yes.
He who eats me?
Lives eats
me.
Because
of me.
Oh, good.
Because of me?
Don't think, just eat.
Eat. Amen. Good. Good. Now, he needs the light.
Oh, the light.
Amen. Oh,
bring
amen.
Him to the Lord.
Lord.
He's struggling with something.
Yeah.
Get through in our brother.
Amen.
Amen.
You just follow
Amen.
Me.
Okay.
Lord, forgive me.
Lord, forgive
open
me.
Open my heart and mind to you.
Amen.
Lord, I open my heart and mind
and
to you.
And shine in me.
Shine in
me. Oh, good.
Shine in me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, don't walk out.
No.
He hasn't gone all the way. Bring
Amen.
Him into some intercessory prayer.
Intercessory prayer.
Yeah, we,
oh,
pray. We can pray for my family.
Your,
pray
yeah.
for my
brother. Your brother Tom.
Yeah, my Lord, brother Tom.
You start Amen. The prayer. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
my
Lord.
My brother Tom.
Amen.
Lord, save Tom.
Save Tom.
Save Tom.
Save
Amen.
Him my brother.
Our brother.
Our brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Amen. And then through this, where do you end up?
In God.
In
the
God.
Holy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Good
Hallelujah.
Brothers, thank you.
Touchdown.
Amen.
All the way.
All the way. No.
Amen.
This is not just to be funny. This is it.
Yeah.
If you're a priest, this is what you need to do every day.
Amen.
And don't do it alone. Do it with the other priests. Amen. And then go find a Gentile.
Amen.
Bring him into this. And bring him all the way to be begotten, to be baptized. Bring him into the holy place to learn how to eat the Lord, enjoy the Lord, have the Lord shine in him. Then bring this one until eventually they learn how to live here. Here, this way, right? I was going the wrong way for a minute. Bring them here to live a daily life in God's presence until they become full grown in Christ.
Amen.
You know, some of us, we start. We come to the burnt altar. We enjoy the Lord as our Redeemer. And we stop there. And we spend most of our Christian life just hanging out in here. And then some may share a word to us on baptism. And something within us says, I should get baptized. Why would you have that feeling? Because this is the Lord within you. But then as you get to the labor, as you get to the baptismal, you get to the edge, you begin to hesitate. What do you need to do? Go all the way.
Amen.
I remember when I got baptized, I was the first one in line. I got there. Okay, you go. Okay, you go. Eventually, I was fifth in line, and something in me said, go all the way.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going. And I got in. Ooh, I got baptized.
Amen.
Took another step.
Amen.
But then, to be redeemed, to be baptized, is that it? Do we stop there? No, now we need to keep going.
Amen.
In our daily life, we need to learn how to eat the Lord.
Amen.
Eat Him as the bread of life.
Amen.
To live by Him. Then we need to learn how to spend time to have the Lord shine in us.
Amen.
To enlighten us.
Amen.
And then we need to learn how to spend time with the Lord as the one who is the intercessor. To pray for others. To pray for God's move on the earth. And then as we begin to practice these things, we learn how to get into the Holy of Holies. We learn how to get into God's presence. And it's lovely in here. It's wonderful in here. And every day I want to be in here.
Amen.
And I don't want to be in there alone. I want to be in there together.
Amen.
And then I want my Gentile friends
yes.
to get on this way
Amen.
And go all the way
Amen.
Till one day they too would become full grown.
Amen.
So we need boldness. We need boldness to go all the way. Boldness to realize the Lord has opened the way. The Lord has qualified you as a priest. Don't wait. Go. Go. Every day. Go.
Amen.
So therefore, come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Where's that? In the Holy of Holies. Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 1. The priestly service is not a service of individuals.
Yes.
Did you see that? It's not. It is not a service of individuals. You're not meant to serve alone, but a service of a corporate body, it is impossible for an individual Christian to constitute the priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's impossible for you, an individual Christian, to constitute the priesthood. Hallelujah. Okay. God wants a priesthood. In 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9, it uses this word priesthood. In Greek, there are three words related to the priest. One word denotes the office of the priest. Another word denotes the service or the work of the priest. And then this Greek word is the word priesthood, denoting an assembly of priests, a body of priests. In other words, God doesn't want a priest, but He wants a priesthood. And God doesn't want many priests serving individually, independently, but He wants a body of priests, priests who serve together. Together. A, every redeemed one is a priest in the New Testament dispensation. And the church today is a kingdom of priests. I'd like to read with you Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 and 5, verse 10. Revelation 1, 6. And made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. Who is the us? And He made us. Who is the us? It's us. That's right. It's me. It's you. We are the us. Is it just the strong ones? Just the capable ones? Just the quote, quote, ordained ones? Well, don't you know, brother, in eternity past, Christ ordained some to be priests, but others like me, He didn't ordain? No. You need to know the context. In Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us. Who's that? Us. Is it just a small group? He loves all of us. Okay? And has released us from our sins by His blood. Who did He release?
Us.
Some of us?
All of us.
Okay? All of us. He loves all of us. He has redeemed all of us. And He made us a kingdom. Some of us? The mighty ones? The strong fighters? No, He made all of us a kingdom. And all of us priests. All of us. You weren't left out. You weren't excluded. You have been made a priest.
Amen.
Then Revelation 5:10. This is wonderful. And have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they will reign on the earth. And have made them. Who's them?
Us.
You. You are them. How do we know that? Go back to verse 9. And they sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have purchased for God by your blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation."
Amen.
And have made them.
Amen.
Them are those who He purchased.
Amen.
Did the Lord purchase you?
Amen.
He purchased you.
Amen.
So you are them.
Amen.
You are those who have been made a kingdom and priests to God.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, let's go on. B, the believers are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people acquired for a possession. These are all corporate terms and indicate our need to be built together as God's house. Okay, we need to read 1 Peter 2:9. Oh, I love these. These are collective nouns. You are a... Well, let's read this verse together. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's read it together. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood,
a holy nation,
acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him
who has called you out of darkness into
His marvelous light. Oh, look who you are! You're a chosen race! You can't be a race by yourself! You're a chosen race! You are a royal priesthood. You are a body of priests. You can't be a body. You can't be an assembly of one. You need many. You are a holy nation. You can't be a nation of one. And you are a people. A people. Not of one. A people acquired for a possession. This shows us the Lord does not want us to be individual. He wants us to be corporate. He wants us to be a chosen race. You know who you are? You're part of the chosen race. That means your lineage is from God. God is our source. We are a chosen race. Who is our source? God. We are a royal priesthood. This indicates that we are a group of people who serve God. And our status is we are royal. We're sons of the King.
Amen.
And we are a holy nation. We are God's holy nation. We are His community. We are where God likes to dwell. God has a group of people on the earth He likes to be with. That's us. And we'll see soon that this group of people, they are God's dwelling place. And as God's dwelling place, they are the priesthood. God likes to dwell in the hood. If you want to find God today, He's in the hood. You want to find God? Get into the hood. The priesthood. That's where God dwells today. And we are a people acquired for a possession. I don't care what you think about yourself. The Lord says, you are a people who I have acquired for a possession. That means you and I, together, we are God's particular possession, His peculiar treasure. God looks on the earth, and what is a treasure to Him is us. We are God's treasure. Together, together, we are God's particular treasure. He longs to possess us. Together, together, brothers and sisters, at this point, I need to ask you to do something. I need to ask you, before we go on and touch Roman numeral 2, I need to ask you to promise God two things. Okay, maybe you say, I can't promise God because I can't fulfill it. Okay, okay. Then, if you can't promise God with the spirit of faith, then pray this. Pray this. Pray, Lord, I forget my background. Promise the Lord, you'll forget your background. Forget about who you are. Forget about your past history. Forget about your failures. Forget it, forget it, forget it. A lot of reasons why we don't go on is because we linger in the past. We stay in our background. In our background, we're not qualified to be a priest. But in Christ, we are. So would you be bold this morning? Promise the Lord. Lord, after this conference, I'll forget my background.
Amen.
I'm going to forget my past. Forget my shortages. Forget my failures. Then the second thing, to promise the Lord. Promise the Lord that you will exercise your spirit. The only way to go on, press on, is to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 2. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. To serve the Lord. Oh, you know, another big problem in us. Not only do we have a lack of boldness, but we have this problem of independence. We have this problem of looking at everything in the Word and thinking, I have to do that. I have to do that. And something within us, for most of us, says, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, the Lord doesn't intend for us to serve as a priest by ourselves. The Lord's intention, in fact, before we even serve, there are two prerequisites before we even begin to serve. First, we need to grow in life.
Amen.
We need to grow in life. Then, through our growing in life, we need to be built up into God's house, into God's dwelling place. Then, as ones who are built up into God's house, then we can begin to serve the Lord. In the proper Christian life, we need both aspects. We need the proper, normal growth in life. And we need the proper, normal service. For our normal growth in life, we need to daily come to the Lord and eat and drink the Lord. But for the matter of our service, we need to see for the proper service, it's a matter in the body. It's a matter of being built up in the church. Then when we're built up in the church, we are in the proper place to serve the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 2, 4, and 5. This is wonderful, the thought here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the Word, in order that by it, the milk and the Word, you may grow.
Amen.
So first of all, we need to long for the milk of the Word. That by this milk, we would grow.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, what do you need to do? You need to grow.
Amen.
Grow. Okay, then go to verse 4. Verse 3 is good too. If you have tasted, the Lord is good.
Amen.
But then verse 4, coming to Him a living stone, rejected by men, but with God chosen and precious, you yourselves also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 2, we long for the milk that by it we would grow. Then in verses 4 and 5, as we are growing, we get built up. So, in verse 2, it's growing. In verses 4 and 5, it's being built up.
Amen.
Actually, our growing is our building up.
Amen.
The more we grow in the Lord, the more we can be built up.
Amen.
in the body. Then as we're built up into the spiritual house, we become the priesthood. Before the priesthood, there is the spiritual house. Before we can serve the Lord, we first of all need to be built up in the church. Oh, Lord Jesus. How is it being built up in the church? It's wonderful, right? But maybe in the beginning, it's not so wonderful. Here's why. The church is built with stones. With stones. Okay? In Genesis 2, when God made man, He made man from the dust of the ground. And in Romans 9, we're likened in our natural being to clay. To clay. So, what we are naturally is just dust and clay. But the church is not built with dust and clay. The church is built with stones. Peter, when he met the Lord for the first time, his name was Simon. And when he met the Lord looked at him and said, "You are Cephas." The Lord changed his name. How would you feel? Your brother Andrew met this man called Jesus. He comes and gets you. You got to come meet this guy. You go up to meet Jesus. He looks at you and says, "Your name is Cephas." Wow. I think he had no idea. And then it goes on to say, which interpreted means Peter. And Peter means stone. So you meet the Lord. When you meet the Lord, He says, "Okay, now you are stone."
Amen.
Stone. Then, a little while later, according to Matthew 16, the Lord had taken Peter and some others away, asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Some say this and that." Then he asked, "Well, who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
The Lord told him, "Blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father who is in the heavens." Then in Matthew 16, 18, the Lord says, "And upon this rock I will build my church." Right? In fact, doesn't he say, "And you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." You are stone. When you get this revelation of who Christ is, when you get saved, you, a man of clay, become stone. You become material for God's building. Peter's not the foundation. Christ is the foundation. The revelation of Christ is the foundation. Peter's not unique. He's just one of many stones. And then you realize that Peter got it, because here in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Coming to Him, Christ, the living stone, we become stones." We become stones. And now we as stones, we can be built together into a spiritual house. And as a spiritual house, we now can be a holy priesthood.
Amen.
So what is the key for being built up into the spiritual house? You have to become stone. How do you become a stone? You have to come to the Lord. How do you come to the Lord? You come to Him as the milk in the Word.
Amen.
I know you at the back can't see this, but this is petrified wood. Stephen, does it look like a piece of wood?
Yes, it does.
Looks like a piece of wood, huh?
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
Feels like stone.
Bite it. What is it?
It's definitely stone.
It's definitely stone. Once it was wood. Now it is stone. How did it go from wood to stone? It went through a process of petrification. It got put into a flow, into a current, into a stream. And it stayed there for a long period of time. And as the flow, the current, flowed through the wood, it flowed away the natural element of wood. And it flowed into it, the element of the minerals. And over time, that wood became stone. How are you and I, dust, lumps of clay, ever going to get built together into a spiritual house? We need to get into the flow. Stay in the flow. In this flow, the Lord will discharge your natural elements. The parts of you that make you unbuildable. Not good for being built with others. And He will add your element. He will add His element into you. Stay in the flow. Then you ask, how do I get in the flow? Well, this flow is the milk. It's the milk in the Word. Every morning when you get up, come to the milk in the Word. Come to the flow that's in the Word.
Amen.
And this milk will make you a stone.
Amen.
I mean, this is wonderful.
Amen.
Have you ever gone to the supermarket and bought a bowl of milk and it tells you if you drink this milk, you'll become stone? I was curious this morning. I opened my refrigerator. I pulled out the bottle of milk. It says it's got vitamin A, vitamin D. It's got calcium. All good for growing and building up a person, right? Well, every morning, open your spiritual refrigerator. Open the Word of God. Let the milk flow in. Then, oh, the milk flows in. It gets into you. Now the flow is in you, and throughout the day, that milk is in there. Oh, it tasted good. It's supplying you to live a Christian life, to live as a priest. It's flowing within you, and it's doing a work within you. A metabolic process is going on within you. You're not that aware of it, but the flow is in there. The milk is in there, flowing in you, discharging your natural elements, and putting more Christ into you.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, you're a little more stone. And so at the end of the day, you go to the meeting, and there's brother so-and-so that you didn't really like him. He's not like you. You don't really like to be with him. But after being in the flow, the milk making you a stone, you get with the brother. Come here, brother. And you just fit together.
Praise the Lord.
You get built together.
Amen.
How did this happen? Stay in the flow.
Amen.
Let the milk flow within your being.
Amen.
This milk makes you stone.
Amen.
This milk in the Word makes you buildable.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. 30-second testimony. 23 years ago, I was in this place, God's house. I was more clay than stone. And I thought, I really don't like this place. It's just not for me. And then, 23 years later, look at me. I'm still here. And I'm no longer sitting there. Now I'm up here. And I'm no longer in shorts and t-shirts. Now I'm one of those square brothers wearing a tie and a... And I'm singing in the meeting. I'm exercising my spirit. And I am happy.
Amen.
This is real. Maybe when you first come in, a lot of dust, a lot of clay. You just feel like, wow, I don't fit with all these stones. Man, they squish me. Oh. But stay in the flow.
Amen.
Stay in the milk of the Word. Let the Lord grow.
Amen.
And as He grows in you, He will transform you. He will make you stone. He will make you buildable.
Amen.
And you will get built in with the brothers and you will love it here.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm different. I love it here.
Amen.
And I want to stay here forever.
Amen.
And I want to get built in more and more.
Amen.
And I've learned the more I get built in, the more I can serve, the more I can function. So brothers, don't go. Stay. Stay here in the flow. Drink the milk. Let it make you a buildable stone. Okay, let's read through A together. The priest, let's read together. The priest comes out of eating, drinking, enjoying,
and being filled with Christ.
Okay, brothers one, then sisters two. Sisters. That's right. No possibility. Okay, two points here. I need to move quickly so we can get to Roman numeral 3 and have a good conclusion. But I'll bring out some points here. We need the growth, the building, so that we can have the service. What are you doing right now? Apparently, you think you're at some university getting a degree in this, a degree in that. Actually, right now, you know what you're getting? You're getting your GBS. You are getting your GBS. What are you doing right now? You are getting growth in life. You are getting built up into the church. And you are being brought more into your service. And this matter is all together in the body. We don't have time to read the verses, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it's wonderful. In verse 1, Paul says, through the compassions of God, I exhort you to present your bodies, plural, your bodies, many bodies, a living sacrifice. And this is your most reasonable service. So there, what is our service? It's we, many, being a living, we being many, presenting our bodies to be a singular sacrifice. Then, if you read verses 4 and 5, he goes on to speak about the body, and that we all have a function in the body. So our service in Romans 12, 1 is our function in Romans 12, 4 and 5. How do we serve the Lord today? We serve the Lord by functioning in the body. So don't run away this weekend with grand ambitions to serve the Lord, to run to this place and that place and to do this or that by yourself. The place to serve God is in the body. When you function in the body, you are serving God. Okay, let's go to B. Let's read this together. We should practice the priestly ministry in our daily life and our church life by the exercise of our spirit. So to enter into the reality of the priesthood, we have to learn to exercise our spirit. Whenever you come together with the other priests, don't be there just naturally. Be there exercising the spirit. Okay, let's read one together. Our private daily lives. We must learn to turn to the Lord in prayer. Okay, one way to exercise your spirit is by yourself. You need to learn to exercise your spirit in prayer.
Amen.
Ephesians 6, praying in spirit. A good way to exercise our spirit is to pray. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're exhorted to always rejoice, unceasingly pray, and in everything give thanks. Oh, this is a real good way to daily build up the exercise of your spirit. Always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
Hey, why don't you rejoice for 5 seconds with your neighbor? Just rejoice in the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, good, good. Okay. Then we need to unceasingly pray. This means to pray is to have uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. You know, prayer is just our coming forward to contact the Lord. To unceasingly pray. Have unceasingly fellowship with the Lord. Uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. When you're driving in your car, just fellowship with the Lord. When you're walking to your class, fellowship with the Lord. Well, for this to be unceasingly uninterrupted, it requires perseverance.
Amen.
We need to learn how to persevere in the exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
And another good way To exercise your spirit is just to give thanks. How about we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, then point two. We should pray in our private daily lives. Two, we should come together with companions, not to talk, but simply to pray. This is Matthew 18, where the Lord charges us to come together in twos and threes. Twos and threes. Brothers and sisters, fellow priests, do you have your twos and threes? Do you have those that you come together to pray with? And the context there in Matthew 18 is to pray for others. Particularly to pray for someone who is backslidden. Someone who used to meet with the church but is no longer meeting with the church. This is wonderful. We should have lots and lots of prayer. But I tell you, a real key to pray unceasingly is don't pray all the time about yourself. It's not easy to pray about yourself for a long time. But you stop praying for others. And we need to come together in twos and threes and don't talk about others. Don't gossip about others. Pray for others. Pray for them to be recovered. Pray for them to go all the way. We need to pray with twos and threes. I'd like to tell you, there is someone on my heart. It's a dad at the school where my sons go. I go there to meet him. I'm burdened for him to get saved. In the mornings, I make a point to find him. And little by little, he's opening to the Lord. Little by little, there are opportunities to speak to him about the Lord. This man used to be a professional punk rock musician. I realize to speak the gospel to him, first, I need to pray. But I learned something. With this one, it takes more than just my praying. I need to pray with others. And every time, listen, every time I pray with others, there is an answer to the prayer. Sometimes I go and I get so frustrated because either I get there and he's talking to another parent, or I get there and start talking to him and another parent comes up. Oh, we talk about getting coffee and then something comes up and we never get time together. And I realize, wow, even to be able to preach the gospel to him, I need to first pray. And that if I'm not getting through with my own prayer for him, I need to bring others into prayer. Amen. And so I make a practice of bringing him up frequently in our Tuesday night prayer meeting with our small group. And every time we pray as a small group, that week the Lord answers the prayer. Even a few weeks ago, I brought him up because I was frustrated. I had not been able to speak to him for a period of time. We prayed that Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I'm walking my sons to school. I probably wasn't in my spirit, too much in myself. I really didn't want to walk into the school grounds all the way around to the backside where this dad hangs out. So I thought, you know what, today I'll just say goodbye to my boys at the gate and I'll go home. Because I'm busy or something. I don't know what it was. And I turn around, and I'm starting to walk out of the gate. And someone calls out, Craig! And I turn around, and it's that dad. And he is running after me. Craig! And I'm watching it. And he's never on that side of the school ground. And then the Lord within me touched me. You prayed for this last night. But you weren't going to go see him, so I had to bring him to you. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. See, I'm a learner priest. I'm learning how to do this, okay? So we need to pray. Pray in twos and threes. Okay, three. We should come to all the regular meetings of the church and learn to function by calling out a hymn, by praying, or by giving a testimony. Hebrews 10:25. We priests should not abandon, we should not forsake our getting together. Priests need to be together. If you look at that picture in the Old Testament, this was a tent. God tented. He camped with his people. In the middle of the congregation, they would set the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Then immediately around that tent of the meeting, the Levites, the priests, pitched their tents. And then around them pitched all the other tribes of Israel. Those priests, their whole living was the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Brothers and sisters, our living should be the church life. We need to be together with the other priests. And when we come together with the other priests, we all need to learn how to function. So learn how to call a hymn. Learn how to offer up a prayer in the meeting. Learn how to speak. And this next point on the outline is learn, 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 learn. Okay, you don't know what to do? Learn how to do it. Learn from the other priests. Learn by following. So let's read that next point on the outline together. 4. If we all practice these three things spontaneously, we will be built up together. Oh, this is it. This is it. If we will practice. Oh, will you go? Will you just practice? Practice. Practice to function. Practice to serve in the church. And don't worry if you make a mistake. You're just a learner. I'm a learner. I still remember in college, I don't know how this happened, but in my last year, in my last week of my last semester, I finally showed up to the church prayer meeting. And I went to the church meeting and I had a great time. And I couldn't work out afterwards. Why did it take me so long to get to the church meeting, the prayer meeting? I guess in me I just had this thought, that's what the old people do. Right? That's wrong. I discovered that's what the priests do. And I really enjoyed that prayer meeting. But I'll never forget that prayer meeting. Because I'm there as a young priest, learning how to serve in the prayer meeting. I had never been to the prayer meeting before. But I knew I'm supposed to pray, right? It's a prayer meeting. What do you do in a prayer meeting? You pray, okay? So I'm there and I want to pray. I want to have a go. And we're praying away about something. And all I had in this thought in my mind was, we shouldn't be individualistic, right? But I didn't have that word individualistic. I just had this word one, right? We shouldn't just be one, 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 one like that. So I pray, oh Lord, don't let us have the oneness. And I used my spirit, and I prayed. And then right after I prayed, and nobody said amen. One started to, and then stopped. Then I realized from the other priest, whoops, maybe I didn't quite say that the right way. Then immediately after I had prayed, one of the sisters, the fellow priest, yeah, sister's a priest, you know that, right? One of the fellow priests in the prayer meeting, this sister, she began to pray, oh Lord, save us from our individualism. Oh, that's it. That was the word. I'll never forget it. But oh Lord, bring us more and more into oneness.
Amen.
I learned to pray.
Amen.
So don't worry about mistakes. I know. It's the same for me. After I sit down, after speaking, after you come to the mic and you sit down, you're like, oh, I messed it up. I'll never speak again. No, it's okay. You're learning. You're learning. You need to get back up.
Amen.
Keep practicing.
Amen.
Okay, let's keep going. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, all the priests should serve together. Okay, let's bring that chair up, Brian. All the priests should serve together in coordination. 1, all of the members of the body are indispensable and need one another. Okay, do you believe this? Brother, are you indispensable? Brother, are you indispensable? Do you have the boldness? How about let's all be bold? Why don't we just stand up and say, I am indispensable. Ready?
I am indispensable.
How about this? I am not all inclusive.
I am not all inclusive.
But I am indispensable.
But I am indispensable.
And we need one another.
And we need one another.
Okay, you got it. Very good. This is the basic principle of the Christian service. This is the principle of the body. In the body, in the physical body, we have many members. Every member has their own function. But there's no member in my body that has the all-inclusive function. My eyes have the function to see. But they don't have the function to pick something up. If I want this water bottle, I don't pick it up with my eye. Right now, my mouth is dry. My mouth has the function to receive the water, right? But it needs the hand to bring the water to it. Ah. We are all members of the body of Christ, but we all don't have the same function. We all don't have the same measure, and that's okay. I feel a number of us, we get discouraged because we look around and we look at everybody else's measure, we look at everybody else's function, and we feel like, man, I can't do that. Look at what he can do. Oh, I could never do that. That's okay. That's the way it's designed to be. You have your function. You can do what you can do. He can do what he can do. And together, the body can function as one.
Amen.
So let's read that next point together. If we are joined together in the body, even the weakest one among us is stronger in the coordination than any individual strong one outside. Okay, brother, come up here. Please sit on this chair. Nelson, come up here. Sit down, brother. Nelson, stand right there. Okay. All right. Nelson, strong young man. Brother, what's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Okay. Can you pick this man up while he's sitting in his chair and carry him around for the rest of your life?
Probably not,
right? And maybe you could lift him.
Maybe.
But not for that long, right?
Probably not.
Right? And to speak the gospel and to shepherd someone, to present them full grown, it's a real labor and a real struggle, right? Right? Okay. You, brother, come here. Okay. How would you like me to tell you that you can be stronger than Brother Nelson?
Amen.
And you can pick up Daniel.
Amen.
And you can carry him around longer than Nelson.
Praise the Lord.
You know what the way is? Not by yourself.
Yeah.
But you need to be built into the body. So Amen. What locality are you in?
Fullerton.
Any other brothers from Fullerton here? Hey, Fullerton, come on up, brothers. Come on. So what's your name, brother? I can't see your name.
Josh.
So Josh, I want you to pick up this brother and carry him. Okay? Okay, go. Pick him up. Okay. Hallelujah! Okay, yeah, put him down. Gently. Very good. Okay, thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Thank you. It's very good. So maybe you want to be a strong Christian by yourself. But I tell you, there's something way better. That's to be a member built into the body. A member who's built into the body will be stronger than any individual member. So D, if we desire to be protected, stable, preserved, and sanctified, we need to be built into God's building the church. This is wonderful. Matthew 16:18. You are Peter, you're a stone, and upon this rock I will build you a stone with the other stones into my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. In other words, the gates of Hades, Satan's kingdom, cannot prevail against the stones who have been built together.
Amen.
Do you want Satan not to be able to prevail against you? Get built into the church!
Amen.
Okay, now let's come to Roman numeral 3. And we'll have a good conclusion here. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. We are both the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. Okay, brothers, A.
The holy priests are those who are separated from the common things, the worldly things.
To go to God, represent God's people. Sisters, B.
The kingly priests come from God to the people, serving them in the ministry of the Lord to them, in a way of authority.
Good. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter 2:9. We'll read that in just a minute. And we'll use these to have a good conclusion. And even not merely to conclude this weekend, but to give you a commission. To give you a charge. So are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the charge? Are you ready to receive the commission of the holy and royal priesthood? In 1 Peter 2:5, we are a holy priesthood. In 1 Peter 2:9, we are a royal priesthood. With the holy priesthood, the direction is to go to God. To go to God, to bring the needs of people to God. The royal priesthood is to go from God, to bring from God what the people need. When you go back, don't rush out to do something. Before you go, you need to pray. Before you go, you need to be the holy priesthood. You need to be separated, sanctified from the worldly things, to spend time in God's presence. What really sanctifies you, what really separates you, is to be in God's presence. Are you struggling being sanctified? Are you struggling being in God's presence? I'd like to tell you the key is be in the church life. Be with the other brothers and sisters. They help you to be sanctified. They help you to be in God's presence. We need to be in the Lord's presence. And before we go out, we need to be in the Lord's presence as the holy priesthood. That means we need to go in to the Lord's presence and we need to bring people to the Lord. This is depicted in the Old Testament with the priesthood according to the order of Aaron. And in this picture, when the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies, when he went in to God's presence, he wore a particular garment, and one item on that garment was the ephod. And on the ephod, there were shoulder plates, one on each shoulder, and there was a breastplate. And on the shoulder plate, there was a stone on each shoulder, and on those stones were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the breastplate, there were another 12 stones. And on each stone was written the name of a tribe of Israel. That means every time the priest came into God's presence, he was bearing others' names. Sometimes we go in, we have one name, our name. We need to go in to the Lord's presence in prayer, be before Him, bearing other names. Bearing the names of other people. Bearing them on our shoulders, full of strength to carry. Bearing them on our breasts, full of love for them, full of concern for them. Then, in the Lord's presence, praying for these people, mentioning their name before the Lord's light will shine. And you will realize as you're praying for someone, the Lord's light will shine on their name and you understand, this is someone the Lord has something for. And then as you're in the Lord's presence, praying for them, the Lord will give you a particular word. And then you need to be faithful. After the Lord gives you that word, you need to go. You need to go. Go to that person and speak whatever word the Lord gave you. And when you go no longer merely as a holy priest, but now you go as a royal priest. Royal means you have authority. You have the heavenly authority to go and speak that word to people. So let's read 1 Peter 2:9. How about those of you that have got it? Just read it.
You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
so that you may tell out.
Amen.
We need to go and tell out. Go tell the Gentiles. Go tell our friends. Go tell the ones we have been praying for. Tell them what? Tell them about Him.
Amen.
Tell out the virtues of Him.
Amen.
But what will you tell them about Him? He's unsearchably rich. You know what to say to people because you spend time in the Lord's presence, bringing them to the Lord, naming them to the Lord, praying for them to the Lord. Then the Lord will shine on you. This is what they need to hear. This is what they need to hear about me. They need to hear this aspect. And then with boldness, you go out and you tell them that aspect about the Lord.
Amen.
And you have authority. And ones who you thought who would never get saved, who you thought they'll never believe it, after you speak to them that word, they believe it.
Amen.
They receive it.
Amen.
They get saved. I mean, this is awesome. This is awesome. I love this kind of life. So I need to end with this practical charge to you. Last night, you were asked to start a list of at least one. I ask you, when you go back to your campus, find ones to pray with. And when you go back, consider before the Lord the names of people that you know. And the Lord will begin to touch you about certain people. Maybe relatives that are not saved. Maybe classmates, good friends that are not saved. Maybe brothers or sisters that you knew who were once going on in the Lord but now have fallen away. Colleagues at work. Something will come up. Something will shine within your heart, particular names. Take those names and put them down on a piece of paper. And realize these are the ones that the Lord is burdened for. And then be faithful. Pray for them faithfully, one by one. And if we would practice this, this would afford the Lord a way to work. And you will see, eventually, one by one, all those names will get saved. They will get saved. Maybe in your lifetime, or maybe after you go to be with the Lord, they may receive the Lord. And in many cases, they will get saved through you. Because as you're praying for them, the Lord will touch you. You go. You call them. You text them. You write them. You mail them a track. And they will get saved.
Amen.
Do you want people to get saved?
Yes.
It starts with prayer. First, you must pray. Then you go. Don't go and then pray. First pray and then go.
Amen.
You're here because you were on someone's list. And you have to understand something. You have to understand it's no coincidence who you know. It's no coincidence you didn't get into the school of your choice. It's no coincidence you didn't get that class, but you had to take that class. It's no coincidence which street you lived on. Because the Lord has people whom He wants. But He needs the priests to cooperate with Him for these ones to get saved, for these ones to grow, and for these ones to be presented full grown. So instead of walking around disappointed, I didn't get that job, I didn't get into that school, I had to take that class instead of this class, lift up your eyes. And before the Lord, look around and say, Lord, who is it? Who in my class do you want to get saved? Who at this university do you want to get saved? Who on my street do you want to get saved? Who in my family do you want to get saved? It's no coincidence. But we're so absorbed with ourselves going before the Lord with the name of one, me. But if we would be before the Lord, let the Lord shine in our heart, He will touch us about people that we know. Then write those names down, lest you forget. And then, I like pockets that are right here, right over the heart. Put these ones right here. Put them on your heart. And then, would you be faithful to pray? Pray for them. And then, would you be faithful that as you pray for them, and the Lord touches you, and the Lord says, go, that you would go. Go, speak to them. Speak to them about this Christ. But speak to them the word the Lord would give you. I tell you, if you do this, if you would practice this, you will see people on your campus being saved. Amen. You will see this. Don't you want to see this?
Amen.
Well, to see this, we need the holy and royal priesthood. Okay, I ran out of time. Let's just read the focus together. Ready? In order to serve the Lord as part of the holy and royal priesthood, we must be built together
through growing in life, exercising
our spirit, coordinating in the church with the other members of the body of Christ,